It's time for the Vegas Golden Knights postgame show. Now here's Ryan Wallace on the Golden Knights Radio Network.
Welcome into the Vegas Golden Knights postgame show. The Golden Knights defeat the New Jersey Devils 2-0. A shutout for Aiden Hill, his third of the year. Vegas improves to 36-18 and 678 points. Continue their homestand on Wednesday against the Toronto Maple Leafs. And to help us break this one down, we go back to the radio booth, bringing the voice of the Golden Knights, Dan Duva. And you know what, Dan, when you look at this game, it was a very different game than what we got Thursday between Vegas and Chicago. What stood out to you about tonight's performance by the Golden Knights?
Yeah, like you said, just totally different than what we saw against Chicago. And, you know, is it a matter of playing different kind of opponent? I mean, you know, you score five goals in the first period. That's great, you know, as they did against Chicago. You know, it's a little bit looser. It's not quite as tight. I don't want to say the Blackhawks aren't trying, but they're just not as competitive as the New Jersey Devils are, among the best teams in the NHL for much of this season. And they're trying to snap out of a funk where they had gone win-loss for 11 straight. Well, now it's 12 with a loss today. So, yeah, different kind of a game. And you know the Devils want a measure of revenge given what happened just a couple of weeks ago, a 3-1 Vegas victory in New Jersey. I don't know if it's matchups, Ryan. I mean, some teams, for whatever reason, match up well with others. And Vegas has played two of its best games of the season against the New Jersey Devils. Why? I don't know, but it has happened against two different goalies, by the way. Jacob Markstrom has been an excellent goaltender over the years, but he's only got 6 wins in 18 games against the Knights in the regular season, and he was very good today. But the Knights were patient. They did not make mistakes. They did not give the Devils opportunities that they didn't deserve or make for themselves. Once again, they didn't take penalties until very late. I mean, this team is fewest time shorthanded in the NHL at 122 now. Just one today, none last game. So, yeah, there was patience. And then once they did get the opportunity on the power play, they've done what they've done all year. They are third in the NHL. And now power play goals times two in consecutive games. So, like, that's not something that has historically been the difference maker for this organization. They've had decent power play numbers, but nothing like this. And they have relied on their power play. And today it came through again. I mean, obviously they won the game because they scored two power play goals on two chances in the third period.
You know, you mentioned the 4-for-7 over the last two games for the Golden Knights on the power play. You know, obviously with the injury to Shea Theodore and Noah Hanifin being elevated to that top unit, you knew there was going to be somewhat of an adjustment period, but it really does feel like they're settling in with Hanifin at the top of the umbrella.
Yes, and Hanifin did have a couple of power plays earlier this year. Naturally, when he is on the second unit, there are just not as many minutes. But sometimes, you know, I mean, Dorfiev and Olofsson, you know, one guy is in the box or whatever it is. You know, that happens sometimes. And Hanifin's done it. I mean, he has done it. I mean, you can see the assertiveness.
Yeah.
You can see the chemistry with Jack Eichel. I don't think it's any coincidence that Jack had touched the puck right before Noah Hanifin on both shots, the one that was tipped in by Stone and then the one that went straight in. No surprise. Those guys back and forth up top. You know, Hanifin is not quite the same skater as Shea Theodore, but still it doesn't mean he can't do a lot of the same things in that role. And when guys are on the same page, you get that chemistry, it can make a difference. And I think that it has. Those guys play a lot together. The Team USA stuff only adds to it. And now the power play only adds to it. It's exciting to think what might happen at even strength.
I want to touch on Aiden Hill here for a moment because, I mean, obviously there's at least it felt like there was a comfort level for the Golden Knights, even though it was 0-0 going into the third period. It just felt like the team was still loose, and I think a lot of that has to do with Aiden Hill, who, you know, has played two games now since Four Nations faceoff in that break. He's allowed exactly one goal over those two starts, and he just looks like the Aiden Hill we saw in 2023, that cup run where, you know, he's having fun, he's loose himself, and he just goes out there and stops the puck.
Yeah, and you could tell, and I'm trying to remember off the top of my head, Ryan, it's not coming to me, who it was for New Jersey who had a pretty good chance in the opening minute or so of this game. And Hill was entirely in the crease. He did not overcommit. He didn't have to do anything more than he did. It was a sign, at least a small sign, that he was sort of locked in, that it was going to be a continuation of how he looked against Vancouver. And that's what we saw the rest of the game. I mean, even the one poke check that we saw late in the game, it was a very assertive poke check. That was in the second period, I think. And like that sort of composure, when he's making a play outside of his crease, it's with a certitude that you want to see it, yeah, as opposed to lingering away from the crease or being indecisive about making a play. Remember where he kind of had an indecisive reach at a puck a couple games ago and deflected it right to an opponent, led to a goal. Like, you didn't see that today. He was compact. He was confident. He was assertive. Yeah, I mean, he very much, I mean, he faced 25 shots, which is nothing to sneeze at, but he wasn't under duress. There were no power plays for New Jersey today. Wasn't under duress, but there were some really good looks, and Aiden looked in terrific position the whole night. I mean, I can't think of any instances where I felt that he was not where he should have been or didn't react to an opportunity for New Jersey the way that you would want to see. We're way up here in the booth, but yeah, you know, that's just what you saw on 25 shots on goal plus all the other attempts. You know, you don't know when the play begins if it's going to be a shot on goal or blocked or wide or whatever. It just seemed to me that whenever the Devils were in a scoring position, there was no question that Hill seemed to be playing each of those threats properly.
Not to mention one of the most casual and cool two-pad stacks I've seen in the game in a long time. Any final thoughts on this one, Dan, before we turn our attention to Wednesday night and the Toronto Maple Leafs?
Yeah. It was interesting to see how Bruce Cassidy handled some of the lines today. We knew Barbashev, Howden, and Kolesar would remain together. Bruce told us so. But that Tanner Pearson moved up to play with Eichel and Stone, drew a penalty, led to the power play and the power play goal, of course. You know, what does that look like going into the game against Toronto? Does Pearson stay there? Olofsson had started there. We saw Saad there last game, so there were some options. You shorten the bench a little bit because it's so close, so Raphael Lavoie didn't get a ton of time there late. You want to use all four lines. That's part of the idea for this organization. It'll be interesting to see what they do at practice. I think they won't practice until Tuesday, and then how they'll face off against the Maple Leafs. And then the last thing, Ryan, would just be, you certainly hope for Jack Hughes that the injury that he suffered there in the third period is nothing serious. He's just a terrific player to watch. As a Golden Knights fan, you don't want to see him score against Vegas, but just one of the great players of his generation. So you certainly hope that Jack Hughes' injury is not too serious.
Yeah, I am with you there, Dan. Love watching Jack Hughes, not just when he plays against the Golden Knights. I love to watch him in person, obviously. Only get one opportunity a year to do that, but I am with you as well. Great stuff on the call tonight, and we'll chat on Wednesday.
Thanks, Ryan.
That is the voice of the Golden Knights, Dan Duva, helping us break down a 2-0 victory for the Vegas Golden Knights over the New Jersey Devils. Take a break. Come back with more in a moment. Presented by Lee's Discount Liquor, you're listening to the Vegas Golden Knights Radio Network.
We're back to the Vegas Golden Knights postgame show. Now, here's your host, Ryan Wallace.
See the future of the VGK as the Henderson Silver Knights forge tonight at Lee's Family Forum. HSK's next home game, Saturday, March 8th, will be wedding night at Lee's Family Forum. It's the VGK postgame show. The Golden Knights defeat the New Jersey Devils 2-0. Shutout for Aiden Hill, his third of the year. Vegas improves to 36-18-6, 78 points. Next in action Wednesday, 7 o'clock, right here inside T-Mobile Arena against the Toronto Maple Leafs. Postgame injury report is brought to you by UMC, the exclusive hospital of the Vegas Golden Knights. Didn't look like anybody on the Golden Knights side of things was injured in this game. Zach Whitecloud took a couple of big hits on one shift, left for a moment down the tunnel, but came back, played a regular shift the rest of the way. So, you know, if you're a Golden Knights fan, you'll take that all day long. And as Dan Duva mentioned, hoping that we get some good news on Jack Hughes, who late in the game collides, kind of gets tangled up, skates tangled up with Jack Eichel, goes hard into the boards, was able to skate off the ice under his own power, but definitely did not look good in the moment. So here's hoping that Jack Hughes will be okay, or at least the update will be a positive one for Jack and the New Jersey Devils. Take a look at the highlights in this game. And, you know, it was scoreless through the first two periods. actually, we'll pivot from the highlights and go to Bruce Cassidy.
Job that tonight.
Yeah, it was. I mean, it wasn't a lot going on. I think both teams were pretty conscientious away from the puck, so you didn't see a lot of odd man rushes. That's when the game usually opens up. Really no penalty calls to the third, so not a lot of room out there. Got to stay patient. They played last night. You hope that maybe you can wear them down. The first goal really matters in a game like that. We get a call, and we took advantage of it, so good for our guys. But, yeah, I thought defensively really dialed in, and I feel we've been that way with the exception of the L.A. third period and a little bit against Chicago. We didn't give up a lot, but a lot went in, so better at that those areas tonight.
There's a bit of pressure on Noah Hanifin to kind of step into that role on the power play one with Shea out, but it seemed like tonight he grew into that role. Just your thoughts on his job tonight?
Yeah, he'll shoot a little more. I think he has that mindset, which balances out, which is a good thing, especially if you look at the Devils' PK. You know, we get all these kind of analytics, and the heat map had them net front and up high, right, to take away the elbows. So Jack Pav, right, not a lot of room for him. They crowded the bumper a little bit with hurdles, so, you know, Stoney's all alone in front for the tip. So good awareness there. And then the next power play found a lane. They were cheating on Jack a little bit, so take the shot from the top to stretch him out, happen to find a way in. So good for him. It was the right time to put the puck to the net. I think we're comfortable with both guys, to be honest. We saw it last year. We kind of used them both. Our power play's really been a strength this year, so we didn't want to mess with it, so we've kept Shea there. But, you know, Hanny, I think they're interchangeable for the most part. I think they can both handle the responsibility. So good on Hanny. I think his makeup, he's got offensive acumen, and when things go well in the power play, you feel that much better about yourself and your game. So it's going to help his confidence.
Danny.
Hey Bruce, Danny Webster, Las Vegas Review-Journal. You kind of touched on it with just the confidence aspect, but it's obviously been an up-and-down season overall for Noah as far as the overall game, but how much can those reps on the power play improve the overall structure of his game as far
well,
as
touches? Well, it will, because what happens sometimes is power play allows you to get touches and points if it's functioning. If you're not on it, you don't get your touches. You're going to be searching for them through parts of the game. Maybe you chase the game a little bit on the offensive side of things, and that gets you out of your defensive structure, right? Or you can get a bit reckless. So that's what happens for offensive guys, and it's understandable. We don't get a lot of power plays, so if we had a few more and we got second unit time, I mean, that probably wouldn't happen, but it hasn't happened a lot this year where we do get those. So that's what ends up happening to offensive guys. Not every night, and there's a certain responsibility on him not to chase it. He's got to understand that's just the way it's going to work out. But forwards do the same thing. They'll start leaving a little bit earlier, overhandling pucks if they're on the second unit and don't get their touches, and then they turn the puck over or whatnot. So not unique to him. We try to talk him through it, but at the end of the day, that's just part of the growth for him when he doesn't get those opportunities, and now he is. And like I said, you probably see a guy that looked more like himself because of that.
Ken.
Ken Bulkey, Sinman, Nut Vegas. Both games against New Jersey are fairly low scoring. The games against Chicago were both high scoring. It seems like a lot of the games, kind of when you play the same team, they go the same way. What does that say about your team?
Well, we can play both ways. You'd want to win them each way, and we lost one in Chicago. I think what happens with Chicago is where they are in the standings are a little looser. They're allowing the younger guys to sort their way through things, and they end up in higher scoring games. Jersey was in that boat like four or five years ago when Jack and Hischier were younger guys, and now they understand the value of that. So they've turned a corner in that regard, and that's what happened up there. That's what happened here. We would always prefer not to open it up, but there are games that end up that way. We have good offensive guys in the room, and we can execute off the rush. We just got to be careful how it opens up, right? There's going to be games where there's just more chances. That's a little bit of hockey some nights, but at the end of the day, that's how it's played out with Chicago, and then Jersey was on the other edge of it, you know, sort of preparing themselves. I'm sure they're thinking for a playoff, tough playoff match. So usually you got to play good defense if you want to, you know, advance, and they've learned that over the years. And you know, Sheldon's doing a good job, I think, getting them to buy into that and still finding ways to win. So they got a good hockey team. We just happen to be on the right side of it a couple times.
Thanks, Bruce.
Thank you.
That was head coach Bruce Cassidy as he addressed the media after tonight's 2-0 victory for the Vegas Golden Knights. We'll take a look at the highlights right now in this game. Scoreless through the first two periods of play, and a big reason why was this excellent save from Aiden Hill on Paul Cotter.
Hallett trying to get to a loose puck and does. Korzak defending, Hallett feeding Cotter, and a glove save! Two former Golden Knights creating one of the better scoring chances today, but a more impressive save for Aiden Hill.
Spectacular save there from Aiden Hill with the glove on Paul Cotter. That happened in the second period, so we pick things up early on in the third period, and Jack Hughes took a penalty early in that third, and the Golden Knights wasted little time as Mark Stone tipped in Noah Hanifin's shot from the point.
Hanifin shoots, score!
Sixteenth goal of the year for Mark Stone on the power play from Noah Hanifin and Jack Eichel. 1:27 into the third period. Breaks the goose egg, makes it 1-0 Vegas. Then midway through the period, the Devils were called for too many men on the ice. The Golden Knights extended their lead with a power play goal, this time from Noah Hanifin.
Hurdle is tossed. Eichel wins it. Hanifin line. Slap shot. Score!
Noah Hanifin's seventh goal of the year from Jack Eichel on the power play. 9:10 of that third period made it 2-0 Vegas. And the Golden Knights, they would have a couple more power play opportunities, one for the New Jersey Devils. Nothing really materialized for New Jersey over the final 10 minutes or so of the game, and all that was left in this one was the final call.
10 seconds to play. The Devils and the Knights have had some entertaining games through the years. The Knights have always had the upper hand, and for another time, it'll be a sweep. 2-0 the final score, and the Knights are 2-0 against the Devils this season.
There you have it, 2-0 the final. The Golden Knights shut out the New Jersey Devils, third shutout of the year for Aiden Hill, and Vegas improves to 36-18-6 for 78 points on the year, four up on the Edmonton Oilers for top spot in the Pacific Division. We're back with more in a moment. Presented by Lee's Discount Liquor, you're listening to the Vegas Golden Knights Radio Network.
We're back to the Vegas Golden Knights postgame show. Now, here's your host, Ryan Wallace.
Welcome back to the VGK postgame show. The Golden Knights shut out the New Jersey Devils 2-0 the final. Aiden Hill's third shutout of the year. Vegas 36-18-6, 78 points on the year. Next in action Wednesday, 7 o'clock here inside T-Mobile Arena against the Toronto Maple Leafs as this five-game homestand continues for the Vegas Golden Knights. They're 2-0 so far through two games. Checking in on the text line, it's always open for you. 702-876-1340, that's the text line. It's the place for your instant reactions after every single game. If you've got a spicy, hot take surrounding the Vegas Golden Knights, that's the place to drop it. Because I look at it after every single game. You know, I think it's interesting in a lot of ways because Gilbert says, complete performance, no panic or anxiety in a scoreless game, closed it down once they got the lead, made good decisions. Okay. I loved the Golden Knights game going into the third period for that very reason. There was no panic in their game. There was no anxiousness surrounding the Vegas Golden Knights. It's a tight checking game for sure. Both teams had looks and chances, but not quality high-danger chances to that degree. I thought defensively both teams, Vegas and New Jersey, were pretty solid in this one. But when you don't score early, when you're into the third period and every single play and every single mistake is magnified to a degree, you can get tight. We've seen teams do that. We've seen it happen over the existence of the Vegas Golden Knights. But what I liked about this performance is that it was absent. There wasn't any tightness or anxiety for Vegas in such a tight game, which is really interesting considering their last game was wide open and, you know, really loose with Chicago. And I would make the argument, and I'm going to make the argument, that in that sense, goaltending matters, right? Like, I thought Adin Hill was really good in this game tonight. Beyond that, there was a calm to Adin's game that lends itself well to loosening everything else up around him, especially in a tight game. Sometimes it's not even about the saves that you make, though he made some good saves tonight. I just think the presence that Adin had on the ice, the calm, the laughter after saves, the chirping that happened here and there, it was one of those moments where I think the team took on the personality of the goaltender. And in a tight game where the mistakes were magnified, especially in the third period, the Golden Knights were ready to take advantage of that. They were able to capitalize on that because their goaltender made them feel that sense of calm. In a lot of ways, this is a win for Adin Hill, but it's also Adin Hill's demeanor really rubbing off on his team and helping them get 2 points. Because when he's locked in the way that he is tonight, and the way that he's been really since Four Nations, 2 games he's allowed 1 goal against. This is the best version of Adin Hill. This is the version of Adin Hill that can win you playoff series, and we've seen it happen before, a Stanley Cup. And if you're getting that night in and night out, that calm, that presence on the ice, then the Golden Knights are going to be a really tough team to beat. Take a break. Wrap it up next on the VGK postgame show. Presented by Lee's Discount Liquor, you're listening to the Vegas Golden Knights Radio Network.
We're back to the Vegas Golden Knights postgame show. Now, here's your host, Ryan Wallace.
Wrapping it up here on the VGK postgame show, the Golden Knights shut out the New Jersey Devils 2-0. Adin Hill, excellent for Vegas. He's been great since coming back from the Four Nations faceoff. Vegas improves to 36-18-6, 78 points on the year. Next in action Wednesday, 7 o'clock against Toronto. Take a look at the standings here. It's about that time now. Trade deadline, it's on Friday. Once you get past that, it's really just a sprint to the finish in the regular season. So it's never too early to start scoreboard watching, especially as we get into March right now. And, you know, for the Golden Knights, 4 points up on Edmonton for a top spot in the Pacific Division. Vegas 78 points, Edmonton 74 points. Same amount of games played. So it's a 4-point lead right now as it stands for the Golden Knights. Then you've got the LA Kings. 2 games in hand on both Edmonton and Vegas. And LA is 8 points back of the Golden Knights, 4 points back of the Edmonton Oilers. As far as cushions go, it's comfortable to a degree for the Golden Knights so long as they continue to take care of business, so long as they continue to refine their game, build it, and grow into their identity. I think tonight was a step in the right direction. If you look at the Golden Knights over the last 6 outings, 5-1. And it comes at you quick, right? You look at the Golden Knights in January, .500. It was an up and down, uneven month for Vegas. The first part of February, kind of the same thing. And then they found their game going into Four Nations, and they've quickly come back to it after Four Nations. And I just feel like the Golden Knights are on the cusp of really dialing things in and starting to build that identity that we have known about this team, we've come to expect about this team, and ultimately what this team hopes to accomplish in terms of winning and making the playoffs. That's going to do it for me here on the VGK postgame show. Extended postgame show, your phone calls, that's coming up next. Presented by Lee's Discount Liquor, you're listening to the Vegas Golden Knights Radio Network.
Thanks for listening to the Vegas Golden Knights Radio Network postgame show, where the station's staying on for more game highlights, interviews, and your phone calls coming up next at 702-876-1340. Good night, and thanks for listening to the Vegas Golden Knights Radio Network. It's the extended Vegas Golden Knights postgame show on Fox Sports Las Vegas, 98.9 FM and 1340 AM. Let your voice be heard by calling in at 702-876-1340. Now here's your host, Ryan Wallace.
Extended postgame show, Fox Sports Las Vegas, 2-0 the final. The Golden Knights shut out the New Jersey Devils. 36-18 and 678 points, top spot in the Pacific Division. 4 points up on the Edmonton Oilers are the Vegas Golden Knights. And they're next in action Wednesday, 7 o'clock, at home against Toronto. 702-876-1340 is the number. Taking your phone calls right now. The Golden Knights are 5-1 in their last six games. 2 wins in a row on this five-game homestand. And this looked more like what you'd expect a Golden Knights win to look like. I know there was some ire, some frustration over the game against Chicago on Thursday because of what it looked like for the Golden Knights. Now's your opportunity if you're a fan, if you're listening to my voice, if you were at the game, if you've never called in before, doesn't matter. I want to hear from you. Is this what you want to see from the Golden Knights now? With just 22 games left, 22 games remaining in the regular season for Vegas. 702-876-1340. We can go player of the game, who you think that might have been. Dial the number. We have lines open. If you call in, we're putting you on the air. Let's go out to the phone lines. Bring in Mike. Hey, Mike, how you doing?
Well, very good, Ryan. It was a pleasing departure from the way we played last week, and I thought we would. I thought we'd bounce back nicely against New Jersey, and I expect more of the same against Toronto, hopefully anyway. In terms of back-to-backs, there's no way to avoid them. The league is too full of teams now, and they've spread out over 3,500 miles, so they can't possibly avoid that anymore. But are there too many of them? And B, more importantly, what do we do in 2 weeks when we play a 10 a.m. game in Detroit or in Buffalo, followed by a 9:30 game in Detroit? And that's our body clock, not the actual time on the clock there. Mm-hmm. How do you prepare for that?
No morning skate. You just go in and you play the game. There's really not anything you can do. The schedule for the Golden Knights is brutal in the next couple of weeks in March. You've got back-to-back weekends with back-to-back games. So it is going to be a really tough stretch, probably starting around the 10th or 11th of March and really going through the end of the month. So the answer to your question, Mike, is you're a pro athlete. You get your rest and recovery in any way that you can. Obviously, with those games starting relatively early in terms of where they're at, 1 o'clock start time, 12:30 start time, you'll be able to get into the next city relatively early. You're not going to get in at 1 or 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, as is sometimes the case when you're traveling and it's a 7:30 puck drop in various spots. So it's different, no doubt, but it's not anything these athletes haven't dealt with before.
Yeah, I've never heard of or seen back-to-back noonish games ever on a VGK schedule, but this will be a great test. I'm going to hang up shortly, but I want to ask you one more thing. Mm-hmm. Could you explain in detail the late in the game play where there was a bench major and a terrible injury to Mr. Hughes? I'd like to hear it from your mouth to my ears again, if you would, please.
About the injury to Jack Hughes, or about
the injury, the penalty, the 5-on-3,
the penalty,
the penalty
was to Sheldon Keefe. He
right
clearly said something to the refs that they didn't like, so he gets an unsportsmanlike conduct penalty, and then he was ejected from the game. The particulars, the specifics of what he said, I don't know. But
no, I don't expect anyone wants to repeat that on public airwaves. But nonetheless, I do believe that it was a bizarre individual effort. And what happened was then, did Jack Eichel get a major penalty, or did someone on our team get one?
No, it was a game misconduct to Sheldon Keefe. It was a 2-minute penalty to Sheldon Keefe for unsportsmanlike conduct. And there was no penalty to Jack Eichel whatsoever.
Okay. Well, the TV showed it is that Eichel looked like he was guilty of something, and I didn't think he was either. So I'm glad to hear that.
I think Eichel felt bad. I mean, he was just teammates with Jack Hughes a week and a half ago at Four Nations.
Yeah, he certainly felt lower than he could possibly feel about an opponent. Mm-hmm. No, I understand that, and certainly Quinn Hughes would be a miraculously large loss for a team that's fighting for position in their conference. So, nonetheless, you've explained it as well as it can be explained. And like I said early in the phone call, I expect a good effort against Toronto. If we don't win, either way, I think we'll play well. That's all.
All right. Good stuff, Mike. Thanks for the call. Just to clarify, and, I'm not sure if it came across differently at all on the radio call or anything, but yeah, the play with Jack Hughes and Jack Eichel is just really unfortunate in terms of what happened. It was a back check by Eichel. It was an odd man rush for the New Jersey Devils. Puck goes across to Jack Hughes. Eichel and Hughes, their skates collide. Hughes goes hard into the boards. Jack was down there, kind of knew immediately that there was a problem. But yeah, no penalty on the play to Jack Eichel. There was nothing nefarious about it or anything like that. Obviously, Hughes left the game in some pain. No real update at this point other than it just doesn't look good, which is unfortunate for Jack Hughes. But yeah, no penalty whatsoever to Jack Eichel. The penalties at the end of the game there were strictly to Sheldon Keefe for unsportsmanlike conduct and then the ejection from the game. So hopefully that clarifies things for you if you were confused on that one. 702-876-1340 is the number. Let's go out to the phone lines, bring in Stephanie. Hey, Stephanie, how you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you doing, Ryan?
I'm good.
So I'm going to keep it quick because I'm sure there is a lot of background noise. But almost everything that was complained about on the Blackhawks game, they did the opposite, right? They were super solid defensively. It was a shutout. Just good to see it. Power play goals. You know what? Yes, there were no 5-on-5 goals, but you take the opportunities you're given, and you know what? If that means two power play goals, that's two power play goals, and it's 2 points in the bank.
Yeah, I mean, you're not going to sneeze at two power play goals. You're not going to, be upset that your power play, which is third best in the NHL coming into the game, helps you win a game. There wasn't a lot of room 5-on-5 for either side. I thought both teams checked really, really well. And, that's the beauty of having a really good power play. If you can have it be a difference maker and it works out that way, good on you. And the Golden Knights have turned it into a weapon.
Yeah, and it'll be great to have as the season continues and into the playoffs. Mm-hmm. And then just final thing, wishing the best for Jack Hughes.
Yeah.
It didn't look good. I think you've got to see how much Team USA bonded because Jack Eichel stayed out there the whole time until he got up. And, obviously he felt really bad about it. You could tell. So just hoping the best for him. He's a great player, and he's great to have playing in the league.
Yeah, I'm with you there, Stephanie. Thanks so much for the call. I really appreciate it. You feel for Jack Hughes. He pours everything that he has into the New Jersey Devils. He's a big reason why this team is in a strong spot in terms of playoff contention. He's really dynamic, really fun to watch, and it's always a bummer to see a player get hurt, especially in a situation like that where it's just two guys trying to make a play. They get tangled up, and Hughes goes hard into the board. So hopefully It's not going to be anything too serious for Jack Hughes, and we'll just continue to hope that that's the case. 702-876-1340 is the number. If you're a Golden Knights fan, I want to hear from you. Some players that stood out to me tonight. Tomas Hertl, I thought he was phenomenal. Noah Hanifin, he's starting to find his rhythm with the power play. Why that might be important for him 5-on-5, we can dive into that. And the trade deadline is less than a week away. Friday, 3 p.m. Eastern time. Trade deadline. It's going down. It's going down. If you have questions, comments, concerns, throw them my way. We have lines open. If you call in, we're putting you on the air. 702-876-1340. Taking more of your phone calls on the other side of the break. It's the extended postgame show on Fox Sports Las Vegas.
Back to your calls on the extended Vegas Golden Knights postgame show. Here's Ryan Wallace.
Hey, extended postgame show, Fox Sports Las Vegas, 2-0. The final, the Vegas Golden Knights shut out the New Jersey Devils. 36-18 and 678 points. Golden Knights top of the Pacific Division. 702-876-1340 is the number. I want to talk to you. If you were one of the fans that was frustrated by what the game looked like Thursday night against Chicago, are you impressed? Are you pleased with the improvement game to game for the Golden Knights in this one? There was frustration about defense, keeping the puck out of the net, all of that after the game against Chicago. I'm just curious to see where everyone's at now that you've seen a Golden Knights game in which they were really strong defensively, played to their identity. Everything you want to see in a Golden Knights game, you got more or less tonight for 60 minutes. It's close to a 60-minute game as we've seen, maybe since the Golden Knights played in New Jersey against the Devils a couple of weeks ago. In the meantime, I will check in on the text line. Actually, let's pivot. We'll go out to the phone lines, bring in Steve. Hey, Steve, how you doing?
Eichel sweater.
What's that, Steve? You're on.
Jack Eichel didn't have an A on his sweater tonight. How he come?
Because at the beginning of the year, it was determined by the coaching staff that William Karlsson would wear an A for home games, Jack Eichel would wear an A for the road games, and Alex Pietrangelo would wear an A at all times, and obviously Mark Stone is the captain. So rather than in these moments just kind of going with Jack Eichel at home because Carlson's injured, that A would have been on Carlson's sweater anyway, so you can kind of move it around and give it to different players from time to time.
Oh, okay, thank you. I appreciate it.
Yep, not a problem, Steve. Thanks so much for the call. I appreciate that. So, that's why Jack Eichel wasn't wearing an A tonight for the Vegas Golden Knights. So Don says slow moving first and second. Hanifin truly stepping up. Nice to see him score one of Hill's best this season. I'd agree. I thought Aiden Hill was really solid. Very different than, you know, the game earlier in New Jersey. 16 shots on goal for the Devils in that one. It wasn't a lot of work to do for Aiden Hill. I thought he had more to do in this one. Obviously, the save on Paul Cotter is probably his best. But I do want to point out, as I'm seeing a lot of texts here about Noah Hanifin. Noah Hanifin gaining confidence with the power play is maybe the best thing for the Golden Knights down the stretch and into the playoffs. And I say that understanding that kind of the only reason that we're here right now is due to the injury to Shea Theodore. You never want to see a player get injured, especially a player like Shea Theodore, who was having a career year and was just excellent for the Golden Knights. And a big reason why the Golden Knights coming into the day were the third best power play in the league. However, I thought Bruce Cassidy post-game did a great job summing this up. When you are an offensive-minded player, as Noah Hanifin is, yes, he's a defenseman, but there is a skew in his game overall to being a more offensive defenseman on the whole. And Bruce went into why power play success can make you better 5-on-5 and in the rest of the game. And he talked about getting your touches and gaining your confidence. And when you're on the power play and you're getting those touches, you're feeling the puck, you've got more of them inside of a game, and then you're also piling up points because of it, it makes you less likely to chase the game in different scenarios and other situations. And I think you're starting to see that come to fruition with Noah Hanifin. There are moments where, you know, he is letting the game come to him 5-on-5, and he's starting to kind of bring that assertive nature that he plays with onto the power play, and it's a big reason why the Golden Knights, A, get a win tonight, and B, why they were able to come through with goals. And once you have that going, once you're able to kind of settle into that, everything else seems to fall into place. And so you're all right on the money, rightly talking about how good Noah Hanifin was tonight for the Golden Knights. You want that? You want a confident Noah Hanifin down the stretch? You want him feeling really good about where his game is at? And if he can get the touches on the power play, and it allows him to just settle in and let the game come to him at 5-on-5 and all other situations and all other scenarios, you'll take that all day long if you're the Vegas Golden Knights. It's always tough to deal with injuries. It's always tough to try to manage those things, especially with a player the caliber of Shea Theodore. But if you bring other aspects of Noah Hanifin's game along, when Shea Theodore comes back, you're a better team. You're a deeper team. You're better equipped down the stretch with Noah Hanifin finding his form and finding his game to the level that he is right now. It's excellent. It's nice to see. I'm really glad and happy for Noah Hanifin that that's the case. And then the other thing, and it goes without saying, but I'm seeing it a lot in the text line, lots of shout-outs to Aiden Hill. About the goaltending for the Golden Knights, specifically tonight. You look at Aiden Hill. He's played two games since Four Nations faceoff. He's allowed one goal. You're going to win a lot of hockey games when your goalie is allowing a half a goal a game. Aiden's dialed in. I think the practice time at Four Nations with that Team Canada was exponential for Aiden in kind of dialing things in. And it should pay dividends for the Golden Knights down the stretch and into the playoffs. Take a break. Come back with more on the Extended Postgame Show on Fox Sports Las Vegas.
Back to your calls on the Extended Vegas Golden Knights Postgame Show. Here's Ryan Wallace.
Wrapping it up here on the Extended Postgame Show. The Golden Knights defeat the New Jersey Devils 2-0. Season sweep for the Vegas Golden Knights over the New Jersey Devils. 36-18 and 678 points on the year. The Golden Knights top spot of the Pacific Division. 4 points up on the Edmonton Oilers. 8 points up on the Los Angeles Kings. And Vegas next in action Wednesday, 7 o'clock, against the Toronto Maple Leafs here at home inside T-Mobile Arena as this five-game homestand continues. And I think for the Golden Knights, this was a return to form. It was a return to the identity of the Vegas Golden Knights. A strong defensive game. Aiden Hill really solid behind that defense. And then the Golden Knights patient in terms of looking for and finding their offense. When the game was in the balance, when they had an opportunity on the power play in the third period, the Golden Knights come through with not one but two power play goals, and they close it out in the third period, again, thanks to strong structure defense and a great performance from Aiden Hill. All the things you want to see from the Golden Knights you saw in this game tonight. Now you're hoping that this becomes the nightly trend for the Golden Knights, that this is what you see consistently night in and night out. They're trending in the right direction, 5-1-0 in their last six games. That's going to do it for me here on the Extended Post Game Show. Thanks to Bobby Machado back in the studio, keeping us on the air, making sure everything sounds great. And thanks to you, our listeners, our callers, our texters. It is your post game show. It's not as much fun for me without your calls, your texts, and your input. Until Wednesday, have a great night, everybody. We'll talk to you then right here on Fox Sports Las Vegas.
Thanks for listening to the Extended Golden Knights Post Game Show on Fox Sports Radio 98.9 FM and 1340 AM, your home for the Vegas Golden Knights. Have a good night and drive safe.